Morning. As a matter of introduction, my name is Scott Leach. I'm here with my wife, Kathy. We fellowship at Central Bible Chapel in Millbrook, Alabama. I know there's a Central Bible Chapel nearby, and I think there's one in New Jersey and a couple other places. Well, it's a good name, right? We didn't know exactly where we were going to wind up in our region, and so we took a generic name, and we've been stuck with it for many years. If you're ever in the Montgomery, Alabama area, we certainly welcome you to fellowship. If you're there for Lord's Day, if you're passing through during the week, I will stop and whatever I'm doing and meet you for lunch, or we'll have a piece of pie or whatever. I'm not opposed to coffee and pie one bit. We appreciate the opportunity to be here. Wonder if we might turn our Bibles to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 23. I will tell you, I don't know that I've ever heard a message preached from 1 Samuel chapter 23, except perhaps this one. And yet in our own studies at home, we're going through the life of David, the life and times of David. We found some things that at least are encouraging to my heart, and I trust will be to yours. And that actually is the thought of this chapter, I think, at least in one part. And what we'll focus on today is how the Lord encourages. How the Lord encourages. We need encouragement. We need encouragement. There's often times in our lives we find we have difficulties, struggles. We have things we anticipate through the week, just like perhaps this surgery our brother is looking at coming up this week, or other things that you may anticipate. And we need encouragement. We need encouragement from the Lord. I was reminded of David's writing in Psalm 69. He says, "Reproach has broken my heart. I am full of heaviness, and I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none." Now, we may feel that way sometimes. Now, I know that passage is typically pointed to as prophetic of the Lord Jesus, and certainly it is prophetic of his experiences at Calvary. But it first was David's experience that he was so downcast. He found no one, none, no comforters anywhere. Now, encouragement by itself, of course, is neither good nor bad. Many fall into peer pressure and are encouraged in the wrong things, right? And we can probably, many of us, testify to that. But in light of this scripture we're going to look at this morning, I'm talking about when we find ourselves seeking to be obedient to the Lord and yet struggling to sometimes make it through the day. Circumstances may seem impossible to overcome. Hope may seem bleak. Well, what do we do? What can we do in those circumstances? Well, God gives encouragement. Again in the Psalms, we would read in Psalm 121, "I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Our God has given us a letter full of encouragement. A personal line of contact with him. We can certainly bring our difficulties, our struggles, our hopeless condition to the one who watches over his own and delivers his own. When the psalmist writes, "I will lift up mine eyes into the hills," I think it stands to reason he's down in the valley, right? He's down in the lowlands. He's exposed to danger. He's looking for deliverance, and he knows where to look. The God he personally knows, he says, "I'll lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord," all capital letters, Yahweh, Jehovah. He knows him personally. The maker of heaven and earth is his and our source of true encouragement and help. So as we look at 1 Samuel chapter 23, we'll kind of keep this in mind and see how God encourages. And we're going to move rather quickly through this morning. I trust we'll have some things. But I would like to read the whole chapter, and I would like you to follow along. I'll be reading from the King James. I know that may be ancient text to some, That's okay. There's a few things, the way the King James translates it will be helpful, I think, to us this morning in our thinking. 1 Samuel chapter 23, beginning at verse 1. Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors." Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah." And David's men said unto him, "Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" You have friends like that? Yeah. Then David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand." So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass, when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, "God has delivered him into mine hand, for he's shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars." And Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring hither the ephod." Then said David, "O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? And will Saul come down as thy servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." Then said David, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hands of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will deliver thee up." Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah, and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbare to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. Your scripture, your translation may say at Horesh. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. And thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next to thee, and that also Saul my father knows." And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Then came up the Ziphites to Saul, to Gibeah, saying, "Doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Hakalah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul, to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand." And Saul said, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me. Go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know and see his place where his haunt is, and who hath seen him there. For it is told me that he deals very subtly. See therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides himself, and come ye again to me with a certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah." And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. And David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David. Wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul, for Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. But there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, "Haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land." Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore they call that place Selah Hamalakoth, or the Rock of Escapes. And David went up from thence and dwelt in strongholds and in Gedi. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. I appreciate you reading it with me, following along with me this portion of God's Word. How does God encourage? Well, how did God encourage David in this passage, in this text? What is the situation again, right? They come to David and they say the Philistines are attacking this little border town of Keilah, and they're robbing the threshing floors. The Israelites are bringing in their grain and trying to prepare it to eat, and once it's ready to use, here come the Philistine hordes in and they're stealing it. They're starving out this little town of Keilah. Now, why did they come to David? Why didn't they go to Saul? Why didn't they go to Saul? Maybe they did go to Saul. The scripture doesn't tell us. But you know how it is. Political leaders do what's politically expedient. And Keilah is a border town. It's on the outskirts there. And you know, sometimes you have to cut your losses. We don't know why Saul didn't come down. We don't know that he wasn't asked to come. But some have come to David. They've come to one who has compassion on the weak and helpless and hopeless. And so David asks the Lord, and he says, Lord, should I go? And the Lord says, yes, go. Go, and you'll deliver the town. You'll save Keilah. And so he inquires with his men. He talks with his men, and you know the response of his men. They're a little timid to go. You know, they're the outcast. They're the downtrodden. They're the discontented, if you read in a previous chapter, that came to him at the cave at Adullam. And so he asks the Lord again, and the Lord confirms his word. Go, and I'll deliver them into your hands. You'll save this town. So moved by compassion, David goes. And we see this as we go up into the chapter. And there's a little footnote here in verse 6. Look at that again, if you would. It came to pass, when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. You need a little background for that. David, you might remember, in his flight from Saul, came to the town of Nob. It was a town of priests. And Ahimelech, who was the chief priest there, met David. And David says, look, I've got these men and they need something to eat. Can we have the showbread? And they took it. And there was a spy there, Doeg, the Edomite. And he carried word back to Saul. Saul was complaining that no one would help him pursue David. And Doeg said, oh, by the way, I just saw David. And so Saul calls all the priests, or he calls the priest to come up from Nob Ahimelech and some of his crew, and he asked him, why are you helping David? You're going to die for that. He said, who does the king's will but David? How did we know? We didn't know he was your enemy. David has a reputation as the king's servant. Saul tells his men to fall on those priests, and you know, Saul, you're king, but we're not going to kill a priest. Doeg says, I'll do it. And he goes down and he kills 85 who wear priestly garments. He goes to the town and kills women and children and cattle and everything. It slaughters them. And Ahimelech's son, Abiathar, the only one to escape, he comes to David, and all he brings left is an ephod, that priestly garment by which they would inquire of God. That's why verse 6 is there. So David is there. He and his men are holed up in this town. And word goes back and forth. It's incredible, the spies that are going back and forth. David knows this, Saul knows that. Jonathan comes down to see him. I mean, it's really kind of intriguing how all this happens. Verse 7, it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, you need to see this, verse 7. Saul said, God has delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that has gates and bars. And so Saul calls up the troops. We're going to go down and take David. He has shut himself in to this town. David gets wind of it, and as you saw, he inquires of the Lord. Now, I think this is an incredibly interesting passage. You know, sometimes we talk about the will of God and the direct will of God, like there could never be anything else. And I remember when I was a teenager in high school, I went to a little Christian school, and it was really strong. You've got to find God's will for your life. You might marry the wrong person. You might do the wrong job. And kids were terrified, you know. I mean, you know, man, what to do? You know, it took me a long time to figure out what I wanted to do in life, and it's retire now. That's the thing I've found that I would like to do. And well, the interesting thing is David asked, what will happen if I stay here? Will Saul come down? God says he will come down. God shows him what the alternatives are in God's great mind of knowing what would happen in a certain circumstance. He says, will these men give me up? Will the men of the town give me up? Said, sadly, the men you saved will. Now, we might think these are ungrateful people. But we might remember Saul has killed a city full of priests. These men of Keilah have no pedigree. And so David, in his great compassion, I think, for this little city, leaves to spare them. And sure enough, as he does, Saul forbears to go down. Well, he goes and he finds another place. He finds himself in the woods of Ziph. We see that in verse 15. And we find that Saul's son Jonathan is able, verse 16, to go down to David, and he strengthens his hand in the Lord. Now, this is the last time the two meet. They never meet again. But what does Jonathan have to say? He says, fear not, verse 17, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel. I shall be next unto thee, and that also my father Saul my father knoweth. What does he do? He strengthens him in the promise of God. He reminds him of what God's promise is to him, what his word is. You will be king. You will reign. That's what God has said, and Jonathan reminds him of it and tells him of it. Now, yes, Jonathan was incorrect in his statement that I'll sit by you, I'll be by you, but was not Jonathan's son to find his place at David's table, right? And so that is the way it goes. Saul's come down, he's searching, he cannot find him, he doesn't find him in the wood, God delivers him again and again. And all those, that there's this conspiracy going on, David stays delivered from the hand of his enemy. So look down at verse 24 for just a minute. It says, they arose, verse 25, it says, Saul and his men went to seek him. They told David, and David had come to a rock and abode in the wilderness of Man. He's holed up in caves again, like at the cave at Adullam. And here he is finding a place to be preserved. Now, God is encouraged by his word. God is encouraged by giving David his word as he consulted with him on the deliverance of Keilah and leaving Keilah. He's also encouraged him by his people. We see that pictured in Jonathan, who's come down. And then we see God encourages by his work. Saul and his men have David encompassed. It says, as we saw in verse 26, Saul was on this side of the mountain, David on the other side of the mountain. David made haste to get away for fear of Saul, but Saul and his men have compassed him about. David has nowhere to go. And the word comes, hey, the Philistines are attacking Saul. You got to go. And for some reason, Saul goes. And so the place takes on a name. It takes on a name that it's known by, the Rock of Escapes, or the Rock of Division, Selah Hamalakoth. And it's important when a place is such a deliverance, it gets a name. So God encourages us by his word. We find encouragement in it just as David found encouragement in the word that was brought to him, was given to him by God himself. He finds encouragement in God's people. And here comes Jonathan. Now, we've had this question, was Jonathan a believer. Well, Jonathan, I think, pictures a believer for us here. Jonathan was one who was thrilled to hear David's voice when he was first in the tent, hearing David explain how he felled the Goliath. And of all those who are there, it tells us right there, Jonathan, just to hear David's voice was a thrill to him. Jonathan is an encourager to David. And then God has miraculously worked in the end of this chapter his deliverance. And God gets a credit for it, right? Because there was no escape for David. Saul's men were completely encompassing about. It had only to be the work of God to deliver him. No might of David's hand, no army would have delivered him. None but God. And God does it with just a simple word, and Saul goes the other way. We have 3 minutes. And so I'm going to make this, we'll try and make 3 minutes. I want you to know what Peter says is true. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly. You may find yourself in a situation even this week or in this time that you say, I don't know how. And it may be like the Hebrew children, you know, who told the king, you know, our God can deliver us. We may go through the fire, but our God can deliver us. You may be going through the fire, but our God does deliver. And he encourages, and we do well to take encouragement from his word, from his people, who remind us not of, hey, we're scared to go down, you know, we're scared here in Judah, why do we get? No. Those that come and bring us God's word to encourage us, you listen to that. And by circumstances. You know, when God came to Moses, Exodus 3:7, he says, "The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I'm come down to deliver them." He's not blind, he's not deaf, and he's certainly not uncaring, and he does deliver. And in the last moments, may I give this little extra, matter of fact, it's not little, this extra bit of encouragement to you. David often pictures for us his greater son. John Phillips, the author of that book, used to say, "Great David's greater son, the Lord Jesus himself." And I'm going to suggest to you this morning, I won't burn at the stake for this, I promise. So you Bible scholars may tear this apart later, and that's fine, Rob. But there was a day when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and took on human flesh. And I would imagine the enemy of our souls might have said like Saul, "Now I've got him. He's holed himself up in a body of flesh." And yet through the temptation, through constant opposition, through the conniving of his enemies, through the betrayal of his friends, yet no enemy could touch the Lord Jesus. There came a day when the Savior hung on a tree of wood, right? Not in the woods like David, hiding, but exposed on a Roman gibbet. And it's interesting there, he had an interview, just like David has an interview in the woods. But it wasn't a prince that came to see the Lord Jesus, but another thief, who also had a word of encouragement. There was encouragement to him, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And the Lord Jesus had a word for him too, right? "Today, you'll be with me in paradise. You may be a thief now, but you'll soon be a prince of heaven." The enemy might have said, "I've got him now." And then there was a day when our Lord Jesus lay in a tomb, in a sealed tomb. And the enemy said, "Surely, I've got him now." and yet no tomb could hold him. And that rock of escape stands open for all time for the encouragement and thrill of the hearts of those who know him as Lord and Savior. So I submit those thoughts to you this morning. Thank you very much for your attentions. And I'll turn our time back to our brother.
Thank you, Scott. Say amen to that. And